Yes, indeed. Different day, different time. But the same great Jason Stark, he joins us here in our here in the program. We're live at Chiefs training camp in St. Joseph, Missouri. Soren Petro, Curtis Seabolt with me up here in St. Joe. Fast Talking Rob running the operation. And Jason Stark on our Sprint guest line. He's brought to you by our friends at James B. Nutter. You're a hometown lender. That's what James B. Nutter is. For 65 years, James B. Nutter has been helping families get the home of their dreams. Cash out refinance allows you to finance great home improvement projects, big ones, little ones, whatever you might have in mind. Call James B. Nutter today at 816-531-2345. That's what I did, was remodel with a cash out loan. Call James B. Nutter, and they will help you out. 816-531-2345. Pick them up online at jbnutter.com. That's J-B as in boy, nutter.com. Jason, how are you, my friend?
Hey there, Soren. Doing well. Thanks for adjusting with me.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's dive right in and start with some of the news outside of Kansas City. We'll bring it back to the Royals a little bit later on. Bryce Harper's injury. He was not happy that it was 10 o'clock and wet and he was playing a baseball game. Is that a mistake or is that just, look, it sucks. Sometimes it rains and that's the deal.
Well, if you've read the Scott Boras quotes on this matter, you know, he wasn't that upbeat about it, and I don't blame him. As you know, I don't have a long history of agreeing with Scott on a lot of stuff. I do agree with him on this. I think baseball really should take a look at why this happened and the whole deal with the bases. And I mean, have you ever asked yourself, why are the bases 5 inches above the ground made of canvas and plastic? Is that locked in stone? Maybe there's some better way. I mean, what did Bryce Harper do wrong on that play to deserve to get hurt? All he did was hustle and run as hard as he could down the line. That shouldn't happen to a guy doing that. It's something that the – I'm not sure if it's the playing rules committee or the competition committee or whatever they're calling it this week. That should be looked at, absolutely.
So what are they – are they looking at going to a flat plate, like, you know, at each spot?
I don't think they're looking at anything. I think it's time to examine whether there is a better way. That's a question that I've never heard asked in baseball until now. I mean, there have been complaints about guys sliding head first into bases and the bags don't move, and because of that they get hurt. There's definitely been some of that. But, I mean, this is just a guy running as hard as he could to get to the base. He didn't deserve to have that happen to him. He's lucky that he didn't blow out his knee and find himself out for 12 to 18 months. I just think it's something worth studying. There's nothing to be lost if they study it. Am I right?
No, I would agree. I mean, one of the only thing he did do wrong is, I mean, you should try to, I was always taught, you know, catch the bag with the front part of your foot. And that requires you to chop, 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 and he's going hard, he's going all out, and that would have slowed him down to do that, but that's the way it was always taught to me.
It's hard to be under control and think it through on a play like that when you're going at top speed. I sympathize. I do. I mean, I suppose technically you're right. But realistically, I'm going to say this again. He did not deserve to have that happen to him.
What does this do, if anything, to the Nationals? I mean, he pointed out, he goes, you know, I've got time to heal. If it was the playoffs, we'd tape it up and I'd get out there, but it's not. So does it really do nothing other than, you know, eliminate any thoughts of them catching the Dodgers?
Yeah, I mean, nobody's going to catch the Dodgers. It might affect seeding, but I would think they have a pretty safe lead over whoever's going to win the Central. So it's only going to affect the Nationals if they're wrong about the diagnosis and he can't come back, or he comes back and he's not the same, or he comes back and he's out of sync. I mean, there's not going to be any league to send him to go on a rehab option. I'm assuming it's going to be pretty late in September by the time he comes back. So, and that's the downside. They've made the playoffs during this run. They've never rolled their real team, the team they drew up, out onto the field during any October. Steven Strasburg's never thrown a pitch in any October. And so he's on the DL. Harper's on the DL. They've got plenty of outfielders. They can weather that. Jason Worth's coming back here any minute. But that team revolves around Bryce Harper. I'm sure he will find a way to play. But he's as pivotal as any player on any team in the postseason.
Jay Bruce.
Agree with that?
No, I would agree. You know, well, we can talk about the postseason baseball not being as much about home runs and stuff like that, but, you know, no, I think he's, you know, of the teams that are going to play, I mean, Giancarlo Stanton's not going to be there. I think he's the guy that makes it go with the Nationals. No, I wouldn't argue that.
They have a really good team. They have like five MVP candidates, but there's just something about that guy.
Tell me, Jay Bruce to the Indians. What do you think? How much does that finish the deal for them?
I'm a Jay Bruce fan. I like that move. It was, I mean, as long as they were willing to take on money, they didn't give up anything. They gave up a guy who was their 30th round draft pick last year, had almost a 5 ERA in the minor leagues. What was there to lose? I don't think Jay Bruce is the kind of guy who will win you the World Series or necessarily win you the division, but he's a good player. He's a professional player. He's a winning player. He's a high-character player, and they had some issues, right? Michael Brantley was on the DL. Lonnie Chisenhall was expected back. Then that was going to take longer than they thought, longer than they hoped. I give them credit for absorbing the money. It's also a reminder that August deals are different than July deals. The cost in players is almost always way less. And so if you can make those kind of moves, if you can take on money especially, there's a lot of value out there. Jay Bruce was incredible value.
Yeah, I agree. Well, that was a great move, and the Indians are doing a fantastic job of trying to win the marathon, go through a deal with all the injuries and get there. I thought it was a great move. We've talked about Jay Bruce a lot, about being a guy I wouldn't mind seeing the Royals go get.
Yeah.
But instead he goes to the Cleveland Indians. So that sucked big time for me. Well, there's no doubt about that.
I mean, if it was a choice of Melky versus Jay Bruce, you'd rather have Jay Bruce?
No, I'm not saying that. I really like the Melky move. For like what we talked about, that I think Melky Cabrera is a postseason hitter, and I don't think Jay Bruce is, but I think this helps him get there. I would like to have seen Melky and Jay Bruce.
Offense really hasn't been the Royals' issue. They're second in the league in runs scored, or tied for second since the break.
But if they get him, the Indians don't.
True.
So that's
where
the part.
I mean, buddy, going to play? You would sit Alex Gordon?
No, I mean, it's not that I think that the Royals missed an opportunity. I'm not second-guessing what they did. It's just Jay Bruce, I don't like you. I like Jay Bruce. I think he's a good player. He's been a guy that's been out there. The Royals have been trying to solve the right field spot for a while, and he's been kind of my white elephant. You know, right. my what was it, white herring, red herring, whatever it is. Anyway, I just, you know.
Get your herring straight. Come on.
I've talked so much about Jay Bruce being a guy that would fit well and kind of finish off the Royals lineup, that to see him go to the Indians just sucks. It sucks to be me.
I'm sorry.
How about that?
Seren, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you're so pained by that.
Yes, well, you know, it's a bummer. But, no, I like Melky. I'm very happy with Melky. And I'm glad, you know, first couple of days he didn't hit. And it was like, oh, we can Melky Cabrera. Well, he's sure as hell helping him now. And I think it was a great move by the Royals. I love the Melky Cabrera deal.
If they make it into that wild card game, that home run the other night is really going to stand out as a turning point moment.
I agree wholeheartedly. We're talking to Jason Stark. He's our Major League Baseball insider. He's on our Sprint guest line right now. How about John Farrell? How do you screw up making a pitching change? I mean, to his credit, he owned it and said, yeah, I made a mistake. And people didn't see what happened last night. He sent his pitching coach out, I guess, to stall. Then he came out to make a change with the same batter at the plate. You can't do that. And so they didn't let him make the change. He wasn't able to get Kimbrel in the game. It didn't blow up in his face. But when you question, he's been questioned loudly in Boston for how he handles his bullpen. This would seem to confirm the frustrations of the fans, would it not? And the media.
you know, I can't say that I've never seen that, but I don't think I've ever seen it from a guy who has managed as many games as he's managed and who has won a World Series and who was as smart a guy as John Farrell is. That was just really odd, really odd. I don't know what to tell you about it. I've seen the tweets. I know what people are calling John Farrell today, there, what they were calling him last night. But he's a really bright man, and I'm not sure what the heck happened there.
If you make that kind of mistake, if I'm the owner, I'm like, well, what other mistakes are you making? You know, I mean, if you're that's asleep at the wheel, is it not?
I mean, again, I don't know what he was thinking. I haven't seen any explanation for it. But the game was just revving too fast for him there, obviously. And I admit, they're going to wind up winning that division. They're talented enough to play deep in October. But I think you brought this up to me a couple weeks ago. We've had no managers fired this season. That's only happened twice in the last 75 years. But if you're going to make your list of managers who are endangered after the season, I think it's safe to say he'd have to be on it, depending on how October turns out.
Well, and he is. And for those that are critical, and I talk to other national guys, you know, guys that, you know, Bradford Doolittle's a guy that, you know, was here with the Star and talked to him sometimes. And all the numbers guys are always ripping Ned. And I don't like his lineups, okay? It gets a lot better when you add Melky Cabrera and Whit Merrifield hits. Then, like everybody, he looks a lot smarter with his lineups. But I think he misses opportunities there with his lineups. But I think the guy has absolutely, for the most part, been pretty golden with the pitching staff. Now, this year I think he stayed with Hamill too long. But I'll bet if I got him down there, true serum, in his office, he'd be like, I got nothing out there right now. Like, this guy's down, this guy couldn't go, and this guy sucks. So I got to try to get a little bit more out of the starter. So I think even with some what I think are uncharacteristic mistakes, I can see a possible reason for why he's made those mistakes. But he doesn't do this. And I'm telling you that everybody in Boston would have said John Farrell's twice the manager that Ned Yost is. And I'm here to tell you he's not. But that's you know, that's just goofy.
It's inconceivable to me that Ned would ever make that mistake.
Yes,
he
would never. It would absolutely never happen.
I think, like, all managers have their strengths. No manager is perfect. I think John Farrell, because he manages in Boston, he gets nitpicked to death. Some of it is deserved. Some of it just feeds on itself. It goes with the profession. Ned's been there, done that in Milwaukee and here. But Ned Yost would never do that. Never.
I know that not everybody has to sit and memorize the rule book the way Buck Showalter does. And maybe Buck Showalter is the example because I know he knows every single rule. And anything he needs, he's going to, you know, that he can find, any advantage he can find out of the rule book, he's going to find it. But he's also the guy who didn't get Zach Britton into the game. So maybe it's not that big a deal, you know?
Managing's harder than it looks. It's way harder than it looks from a seat in a talk radio station. I know
but
that.
But it should almost be by the time you take the field, like, pre-programmed responses, right? If we're in this situation, I'm going to this guy.
Well, I mean, I think the best managers manage the game in their heads before it ever starts. And one of the things that I've always admired about that Red Sox team since Dustin Pedroia has been a central figure on it, is their players do that. Their players sit in the dugout before games and talk over what's likely to happen. You've got to see over the horizon if you want to do that job, and you've got to manage the game way ahead of the rest of us in that job. And I mean, again, I don't know what his explanation was. I haven't seen it. I'm sure he knows the rule. But something didn't match up. What he was imagining in his head didn't match up with the rule book, that's for sure.
Well, and this wasn't, I'm going to, for a lefty-righty matchup. This was his freaking closer.
It was not your normal time to bring in your closer, right? It wasn't. It probably was not the kind of move he anticipated at 6:30, 7:30 p.m. Maybe it's not the kind of move that he had played out in his head, but it just can't happen.
Yeah, to me it looks like he's sitting there, and because I know they go through these scenarios. They're okay, here's who we got tonight. This guy's down, this guy's down, this guy's down. We got to go early. This guy's got to fall on the grenade and pick it up in the first couple of innings. We get to the fifth, we're going to this guy. The sixth, this guy. Seventh, eighth. You play that whole scenario out. This just smelled of crap, get him in there. Like whatever we planned.
I think that's what it was.
I forgot it, and damn, go. Well, I got to get him in there. And I was like, whoa, no. All right, enough about that. Dustin Pedroia's injury, though. Does this doom the Red Sox and maybe doom John Farrell? Not necessarily doom him out of the playoffs, but does losing Dustin Pedroia, maybe because they're talking about him needing the same kind of surgery he had in the last offseason, that he's going to try to get back out there and going to try to play, but are they starting to get, you know, dinged up to the point that, you know, they're going to get there, but then they're going to quickly go by the wayside?
We've had a lot of big injuries this week. I mean, it's hard to sit here and say right now on August 14th which one of them is most likely to doom which team. But, I mean, if you're trying to make a point that Dustin Pedroia is a pivotal player for that team, I agree with it. Now, I mean, they're better equipped to play through it, at least in the short term, because Rafael Devers is so good, certainly when he swings the bat, he is, and because they were able to make the move they made for Eduardo Nunez. So they've got options there, and they can get through the season. But, I mean, I don't know. I've watched Dustin Pedroia in too many big games not to think that when you get into the biggest games, he's going to find some way to will himself to make a game-changing play, to do something that nobody else does just because of the force of his will. And so, I'm not a doctor. I didn't go to medical school this week. I don't know what the prognosis is, but do they need him? He would be on my list of most irreplaceable October figures.
And now a positive, is the Chris Sale deal just more and more highway robbery? I know the White Sox got good prospects, and it's very early. Yoan Moncada has only got a handful of at-bats, and I know they're really big on the pitcher. Michael Kopech is supposed to be the real deal and everything.
Threw 101 in the futures game, right?
Yeah. Oh, well, that's you know, so did Mike McDougal once. But my point being, not only are they getting this incredible production out of him, they've got him for two more years at what now is a really affordable price.
Well, the contract was a big reason they gave up what they gave up.
Right.
Why did that deal not work for both sides?
It did. I'm sure the White Sox got the most that was being offered at the time, and I'm sure the Red Sox offer was, it's got to be now. We're not farting around later. We want him for the whole year. I get it. I'm not saying it's a bad deal, but it does look like a steal for the Red Sox. He's going to strike out 300 guys. That hasn't been done since Pedro Martinez in 1999. He is the definitive dominant ace of the American League, right?
Well, Corey Kluber's awfully close.
Yeah,
but, I mean, Chris Sale's as good as it gets. Chris Sale's the best pitcher in the game, has never won a Cy Young. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think you and I have gone through this, but if you wanted to, like, make your list of active pitchers in the most meaningful categories, you know, from ERA to WHIP to strikeout rate, to pick your favorite, ERA plus, and it's Kershaw 1, Sale 2. Now, I would take Corey Kluber in a heartbeat. It's almost a coin flip, but Chris Sale's awesome. That's your point, and you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, he's really good. You mentioned the injuries. We're talking to Jason Stark, our Major League Baseball insider. Royals did bounce back and win the last two against the White Sox. Needed a big home run from Melky Cabrera to get one of them. But, you know, they've given up big home runs to the Cardinals to lose it. So that's just a little bit of karma. That's a little yin and yang coming back around. Sometimes, you know, you're the bug. Sometimes you're the windshield. So nice job out of the Royals. I'm not trying to diminish what they did. But how concerned is the Salvador Perez? Like I mentioned, the Royals weren't able to overcome the Moustakas injury last year. They got to get him back, do you think? Is it as simple as no Salvador Perez equals Royals play bad baseball?
Well, I mean, we talked about it when he went down. They haven't been the same. They certainly haven't pitched the same. Run prevention hasn't been the same. But, I mean, the good news is this is a race that's almost impossible to fall out of. I tweeted this earlier today, Seren. You know, I love all the projection sites. Baseball Prospectus is now projecting that 81-81 will get you into the wild card game, or at least a plan for the wild card game. And they've got Twins, Angels, Rays, Mariners, and Royals at either 81 wins or 80. I'm looking forward to that five-way tiebreaker. Can't wait.
Yeah, and how does it work?
Can we wait a few weeks on this? But if it were to be four-way tie, there would be two games on Monday, and then the winners would play Tuesday, and then the survivor would play in the wild card game Wednesday. And if that survivor won, it would play again. I have to take a look at the schedule. I think Thursday, right? So you'd have to play Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in five different cities.
Yeah, unless you're the whole – well, I guess you couldn't be, though, if you're the home.
That's possible. Yeah, but, I mean, that's conceivable. You could play five games in 5 days in five cities.
Yeah.
Wow. To advance to the division series.
That's
if it's a five-way tie, I've gone through this stuff in past years. Can we just wait a few weeks? I'll be happy to try to figure it out again. But it's just too many moving parts.
Yeah, it is. It is. Who do you like right now? Who's your money on?
I don't think anybody has any idea now. Baseball, like everybody, even the projection sites are completely split now. Baseball Prospectus has Twins at 24%, Rays at 23%, Angels at 22%, Royals at 18%. FanGraphs has the Angels at 32%, Royals at 24%. And then it kind of goes down from there. 538 has the Angels at 36%, Royals at 25%, Twins at 24%, and then a bunch of teams like right behind them. Let's just face it. Whoever is the second wildcard team in the American League, it's just not going to be a good team. It's going to be the hottest team, or it's going to be the luckiest team, or it's going to be the team with the best survival skills.
Yeah, I'm fine with saying that they're a flawed team as opposed to not a good team. I think that's maybe a little harsh, Jason, for you to say. Feel bad for those poor teams.
Oh, extremely flawed.
Okay, yes, it could be a flawed team. And I do agree. I said earlier, it's going to be whoever's hot last. That's what it is. I mean, the answer is going to be one thing at game 140, a different one at 150, a different one at 160, different one at 162. And if you kept playing, it'd be different at 168. I'm with you. I don't think anything is going to separate these teams, so it's going to come right down to the wire.
If you told me at the deadline that the Angels and Twins would be 1-2 in this race for that last wild card spot right now on August the 14th, I'd have laughed out loud.
Well, I kept asking, you know, the Twins for real. And
I don't see how they are. Their front office sold at the deadline.
I know.
The guys who run the team didn't think they were for real.
So what do you make of it? Should those guys be fired?
It's that kind of league.
Should they be fired?
Should the people who run the Twins be fired for selling a starting pitcher they'd had for a week
and a closer that
they signed to a minor league deal?
For kind of going for it and then backing off. I mean, look, if they end up in the playoffs and they lose because they didn't have those pieces.
Well, I mean, I did think about this the other night when they played that crazy game with the Tigers. You followed this, right? They were 5 runs down, then they got 5 runs ahead, and then they lost on a walk-off 2-run homer in the ninth, 12-11. And, I mean, maybe Brandon Kinsler gives up that home run. Probably not. He throws a lot of ground balls, that guy. So if that's the game, if you lose out by one game, I would say that the guys in that clubhouse will remember that, remember it well.
I just think that I think we in the media are guilty of giving people a pass because we didn't see it. But they're in the get-it-right business. You're supposed to get it right when you're a GM. And I think a lot of times we go, well, you know, boy, I didn't think the Twins were good enough. And I didn't. I'm with everybody. I agree. I thought selling was absolutely – and I was like, they're going to look really smart because they're going to add some more pieces. And next year and or the year after, they're going to really be ready to rock and roll, and it's going to be a better team for it. But
well, you know,
that's
this is really an interesting question because I talked to some of the people in the Twins front office as they headed toward the deadline, and I talked to other teams about them. And the impression that I got from teams that had talked to them is they were really disappointed that they couldn't sell because they weren't built for this year. This year was a fact-finding year, right? And maybe because of that, they had an itchy trigger finger when they got down to the end. But, you know, the message that they kept sending was that they really respected what it meant to everybody to find yourself in a race, even if you had a minus 60 run differential. And they were trying to do the juggling act. They didn't trade Irvin Santana, right? There are a lot of guys they could have traded who they didn't trade. They traded, they sold around the edges. And that, I mean, I thought that made sense in a if I were in their position, I would have been very tempted to do the same thing. But a week later, a week and a half later, 2 weeks later, it doesn't sit right. So what did Thad Levine say yesterday? They're combing the waiver wire, and they're, you know, if this keeps up, they'll be active in trying to acquire.
Well, and there's a flip side to it. Yeah. And there's a flip side to it, and that is, hey, players, don't, you know, crap the bed for 2 weeks, right, leading right into the deadline, you know?
But that's what these teams are.
And I know it, but that's where I put it back on the front office. You're supposed to know what you are, and you're supposed to know what the other teams are and make the right decision.
All right, they were a team that had never won more than 4 games in a row at any point, hadn't even done that in 2.5 months. They were a team with a minus, whatever it was, 60-run differential at the deadline. They were playing terrible. Their expected one loss, their Pythagorean one loss, and every piece of data on the data sheet indicated they weren't nearly as good as their record. If you're trying to run a team in an enlightened 21st century way, you know, it's the kind of call that I think a lot of front offices would have made. I'm going to defend them on this.
Okay.
Now, look, there are teams that have sold, and I thought they were dead wrong. I really didn't think this was one of them.
No, I didn't either. My point just is it's not about agreeing with me. It's about getting it right. That's what they're paid to do.
Yeah,
we're talking to Jason Stark, our Major League Baseball insider. Last point I want to hit upon for the Final Four, and that is we're coming up to September. And last year, the Royals, or 2 years ago, the Royals did what they did in 14 and 15. They really used the 40-man well in September. And they're leaning for the September roster expansion. They've got a great weapon in Terrence Gore, who becomes a tie-game killer that they can put out there. I mean, they seem to massage that 40-man, and then they get more arms, and they fire those arms in. And are we going to see everybody recognize that those are real pieces you can have, that you can shorten up your starting pitchers and play a little bit more playoff-style baseball and go 4 innings with a starter and go get the arms out of the pen and fire out? Because people were complaining about, you know, how it ruins the race. Like, you spend all year with 25 guys, and then all of a sudden here comes the cavalry and it's different, and the team that had the best 25-man roster doesn't win. Okay, great. The Royals looked at it, and it was usually talked about the Royals. We're coming up to that. Are we going to hear that again, or have teams wised up and they have kept some weapons like a Terrence Gore or you know, different. They've got some live arms ready to inject into the bullpen and lengthen it.
Well, I mean, if you go back to the labor talks, it really was a shocker when that labor deal got done and the September roster expansion was not addressed. So everybody is well aware of what the deal is. And if you're in a race and you don't use every weapon you have available, if you don't use everybody in your system who could make an impact, that's on you. I have no doubt that the Royals will do that. It depends how you define all in to say they're all in. But they have so much at stake to get there this year. And so it feels to me that whoever they have to call up and whoever they have to throw into a Terrence Gore kind of role, they need to do that.
Is there a starting pitcher that's going to make it through the waiver wires besides obviously Justin Verlander since Cahill's down?
Yeah, I mean, by make it through, you're saying won't get claimed?
Yeah.
I haven't talked to the Royals front office about this. Talked to a couple other front offices, and I think the general consensus is you can't trade for an impact starter in August. But, I mean, at some point here, the Blue Jays, assuming that they have given up on the idea that they can still be a wildcard team, are going to put Marco Estrada through. They were certainly interested in moving him in July. He's going to be a free agent, could still sign him back. You know what? It would behoove you to lose a little bit and be first in the waiver wire pecking order and put in a claim on him, but not get so far out that you can't come back. But to me, he's the most interesting guy who could still get moved.
Okay. Jason Starks, our Major League Baseball insider. Time for our Final Four, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Win a 2017 truck of your choice during the Trucks and Bucks promotion. You can see details at kslottery.com. Callers 8 and 10 will win some of those Kansas Lottery tickets right now at 913-3810-810. How many wins do the Dodgers end up with?
I think he asked me this last week, and I said 111. At this point, if they just play 500, I think they win 106. So I'm gonna up that. I'm going to say 115.
115, okay. No new record, but 115.
I guess not. What's the National League record? Oh, it's still that 1906 Cubs team.
Yes. Giancarlo's final career home run number will be, he's at 250, and hitting a home run every day for the rest of his life will take him to where?
He's going to hit a home run every day for the rest of his life, so he'll finish with 4,714.
What do you really think?
I think he's going to break the all-time record.
He
probably
really?
Won't stay on the field now because that's always been his issue, but it's been a long time since we've seen anybody like him. He's going to hit 60 this year. I actually think he's going to hit 800 home runs. I'll say 802.
Really? You really do think he's going to break the record?
Wow. He's got to stay on the field. He hasn't been good at that. As somebody who's gotten to know him a little bit, he's incredibly motivated to be great.
Okay.
And he knows that to be great, he has to do a better job of getting to home plate. I wouldn't put it past him. I'm going to put it that way. I mean, considering his age and how many home runs he's hit and what he's doing now that he is healthy and he's kind of gotten past his issues of handling that fastball in above the hands even. Wow. What? Who's to say what he can't do? He's a really extraordinary human being.
Number one pick in your fantasy football draft would be who?
I haven't thought about this for 1 second. I haven't thought about it. I can't.
No thought?
Give me multiple choice, but I haven't thought about it.
Okay.
We're not going to draft here for like 3 weeks.
Okay. Well, Zeke Elliott's suspended. Le'Veon Bell's coming out. So,
I don't have a great answer for you.
Okay. When will we see the first team buy its own plane in Major League Baseball the way the Patriots did?
Why do you have to buy your own plane when you can just charter out?
Well, I don't know. Why did Bob Kraft buy it? I think it's going to be the future. Give him, because I think it's going to become a free agent recruiting tool. He's putting in all first-class seats, so all the big boys, you know, get more comfort. I the NBA's done it for years. It's coming.
Okay. If only George Steinbrenner were alive.
That's right.
Would there be a seat on the plane for us someday? It wouldn't.
No.
Be right.
No.
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 Just for the athletes. All right. I mean, I would think the Dodgers would be a threat to do this, huh?
Yep. Dodgers, Cubs, Red Sox. It's coming.
Yeah. All right. At 2020.
Okay. I'll hold
Dodgers.
You that. Good one.
Put me down for that. I totally made that up.
It'll be the Dodgers. I like it. Jason, great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Sounds good, Trent.
All right. Jason Stark, our Major League Baseball insider, brought to you by James B. Nutter.